Hey, welcome back out to our first Wednesday, Impact Family and Friends, Impact Nation. That's who we are all over the world, praise God. Listen, this is the first Wednesday in the month of May. We've been dealing with something here for every first Wednesday for the past several of this thing called the church. I hope that you've been leaning in on it. If this is your very first time getting in on this series, please go back and listen to the others. They're there on our YouTube as well as even Facebook. You can find it. So go ahead and pull those up. Go to our app. We have them there where you can just catch the message portion only. So be sure to get a hold of that so you can understand. Because as Dr. Miles Monroe said years ago, when the purpose of a thing is not understood, abuse is inevitable. And we want to make sure that we clearly understand what the purpose of the church is. Listen, this is first Wednesday, so that means next Wednesday is our student night. Students are going out skating. It's not too late. So if you're a student or you think that you are just young enough to be a student, you can go ahead and grab yourself some tickets. It's at iceevents.eventbrite.com. That's where you go. Go ahead and purchase your tickets for that. Going to be a great night next Wednesday for the students out doing a little bit of skating. Are you ready? Say yes. Good. I'm glad you're ready. But before we jump into this, be sure to join us on Sundays. So now if you're in town, join us in person. If you're out of town, be sure to lock in, you know, via live stream at 10 a.m. or you can catch, you know, at noon as well, because we're dealing with something here talking about one people and just kind of addressing matters of racism, sexism, and discrimination from the eyes and through the lens of Almighty God. Yeah, we understand, you know, what Black Lives Matter says. We understand what white supremacists are saying. We understand what the ACLU may be saying or NAACP, you know, all of these different organizations. We understand all of that. But what does God say? What does God expect of us? So I definitely want to encourage you to come out, be a part of this as we continue to fortify ourselves in these last days about how the church should be conducting themselves, especially on critical matters like that. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive into what the Lord has for us on tonight. Father, we bless you. Thank you so much again for your presence. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for being just so good. All my life, Daddy, you have been faithful. So, Father, we're just trusting your faithfulness to be on display once again today. Father, to bring forth revelation and clarity and wisdom for all, Father, that are leaning in and listening on today. Father, not only revelation and wisdom and clarity, but, Father, let there be distributions of your healing. Father, may those who came in, you know, depressed, praise God, be lifted up, praise God. May there be beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for the garment of mourning, Father. May there be a great exchange on today, just as we continue to go forward in your word. So we love you. We give you all praise, glory, and honor now. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout glory. Glory to God. All right, let's begin to review some things. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, this is where we start off because this is the very first reference to the church in Scripture. Jesus is the one who brings it to us. And he says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Come on, that's the billion, trillion-dollar question for you and me and everybody else on the planet. Who do you say that Jesus was and is? It continues to read and says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. This is revelation knowledge. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Come on now, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now again, he wasn't talking about building it upon Peter. He's talking about building it upon the revelation that Peter expressed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the incarnate. Come on, he's God with us, Emmanuel. Peter caught that, and Jesus said, man, you caught something. Nobody taught you that. You caught that directly now from the Father God. And now, because of that, you're blessed. And there's going to be an intricate role that you play in this thing called the church. So this is the very first reference that we see about the church. And remember, we shared this a few months ago, now a couple of months ago, that church is not a place we attend, but it's an assembly we are called to become. So it's not a church that we, a place that we attend. It's an assembly that we are called to become. If you have the mindset of I'm going to church, please drop that, lose that. You, when you have a relationship with Almighty God through Christ, you are the church. So you're not going to church. Watch this. You may be going to a gathering, you know, a church gathering of church people, you know, so that you can worship the one and true living God. But you are the church. So it's not about going to church. It's about being the church. Also, the church is a community, not an exclusive club for self-enhancement. So watch this. We're not holding people, at odd's length, praise God. I like one particular church. I believe it's Church by the Glaze, and they are ones, and there's others that do it too. But I remember just seeing the shirts that they would have. It says, "No perfect people allowed." I said, man, I like that. Because at the end of the day, everybody's welcome. And listen, none of us are perfect, praise God. So that's a big part of the heart of the church. The church is an assembly where everyone is loved and everyone is embraced. So regardless of what issues you may feel like somebody's going through or dealing with, where the church is concerned, how Jesus established the church is that everybody's loved and everyone is embraced. And listen, we got to be real cautious of kind of the spirit that is in the atmosphere in our culture today, because the spirit in the atmosphere today is if someone does something that we don't like, we cancel them now. We just wipe them off, just like, oh, okay, you can't participate. You can't play in the game anymore. You can't be a part of the fellowship anymore. That's not the heart of God, and that's certainly not the heart of the church. So please, do not forget that. So then I gave you this expanded definition. The church is a duly summoned assembly that functions in community for God's predetermined purposes. And so the big question is, what are these predetermined and prescribed purposes of the church? Very quickly, and the first one is worship. Second, discipleship. Thirdly, evangelism, and fourthly, ministry. Now, again, go back and listen, to the message on that so you can get more detail on it. But those are really the four focal points, of the purposes of the church. And when the church, is operating in those things, watch this, we are explosive. We are impactful, praise God. Now, there's a lot of things that can fall into those headings as well, because sometimes people say, well, what about social justice? Well, that can fall in there. But let's make sure, though, that everything that we get involved with as the church, let's make sure that it lines up with one of those purposes. We talked about the whole importance of focused light. Come on, some of y'all like me remember, just being, a little fella, and you'd have a little magnifying glass, and you realize that if you held that thing like right over one of them little ants, a trail of ants that was just going down the sidewalk, you could burn all of them up. But now, of course, if you remove it and the sun is just shining on them, they're fine just like you and I. But see, when you get that focused light, that diffused light, it starts to create a massive impact. So for the church, it's important for us to stay focused on the purposes that we've been called to: worship, evangelism, ministry, as well as discipleship. These are absolutely critical and focused and important for us. So now, here's the question we need to kind of, answer then. How has the church, and when I say church, I'm talking about people, not an institution, how has the church slipped from these purposes? Because I submit unto you, if you look throughout church history over the last, several centuries easily, you can see slippage that has been happening and continues to happen, where the church, has been morphing into something completely different than what the Lord Jesus Christ, came to birth. Let me read something to you. It's by Timothy Keller, I believe name is properly. Particular book, it's called Gospel Centered. And I love this quote in the book, and I think it's very, very important for us right here, and it's going to set the tone for where we're going today. It says, over the centuries, Christianity has evolved into a spiritual or religious way to meet felt needs. instead of what it is at the core, and that is a means of reforming a person into the image of Christ. Understand, Christianity has evolved into a spiritual or religious way to meet felt needs. Now think about it. Maybe for you, for me, what drew you into God, what drew you into, you know, locking in on our first Wednesday service is because of some needs you have. Maybe you're dealing with something. And you're looking for some sense of direction. You're looking for some sense of relief. You're looking for some sense of guidance. Well, where does that come from? That's what the church or Christianity, unfortunately, has kind of morphed into, where it's just kind of now a spiritual or religious way to meet our individual felt needs. Is God concerned about our needs? Absolutely, He is. But let's be clear. The church is not about you. Pause, Selah, think on that. The church is not about you. The church is about the one who now shed his blood for you. The church is about the one who gave you breath, who gave you life, who gave you all things. That's what the church is about. It's really not about you or me, our happiness, our fulfillment, our freedoms. No, that's not what's most important. Are those things significant? Sure, they are. But that's not what's supposed to drive the church. Let me keep reading, because he continues on and says this. With this view about now how the church has evolved into a spiritual and religious way of meeting felt needs, it says, with this view, participation in church became optional, since salvation comes directly through personal faith and experience, which is not mediated through the church. So, of course, now everything has been reduced to my personal relationship with God. And once we kind of came over to that place, then all of a sudden, I don't need the church, is what many will begin to say. You've heard individuals say it, and you may have said it yourself. I don't do organized religion. You know, I love God, you know, but I don't do that organized stuff. You know, okay, that's really interesting, but that's not the way Jesus designed the church. He didn't design the church for you to be an individual, me to be an individual, and we keep each other at arm's length. No, he's calling us to unite together. Now watch this. Uniting together can be messy, because you're uniting with someone else with some issues, and you're bringing your issues in the uniting, you know, principle as well. So yeah, it's going to be messy, and I get it. There's going to be some hurt feelings. There's going to be, you know, some disappointments. Yep, but that does not mean we abandon the church. We abandon what Jesus has put in place, even though, yes, sometimes it can be messy. The rest of the statement by Keller says this: the individual is privileged at the expense of the community. So every Christian becomes his or her own spiritual authority, and there is no true accountability. Man, when I read that, I said, but that's spot on. That's spot on, because here it is now. We have developed into a place, talking about the church, Christianity, where every individual is their own spiritual authority. And you'll hear people say it all the time. Well, you know, I believe this is what the Lord is telling me to do. Okay, that's fine. But if we look at the church, God has established some safeguards for that, because anyone can begin to adopt an attitude or mindset that I'm hearing from God, and watch this, and be completely off base. And we've seen throughout history people that have died because of that. So God, in his wisdom and his prudence, said, you know what, I'm going to establish something so that there is a safeguard. There's a sense of accountability. Now, understand something. Accountability is something you have to submit to. No one can force you to be accountable. I can't force you to not eat that chocolate cake right now while you're watching, you know, the service. Put that cake down. You know you shouldn't be eating that. No, fine. You can eat it. But watch this. I can't force you to do that. That's a choice you have to make. The only way I can be, you know, any benefit to you is that you're willing to submit to me to say, Pastor, would you help me with this? I've been having, you know, a time, you know, putting this chocolate cake down. You know, would you please, you know, keep an eye on me and help me to overcome this? See, now you have just submitted to me. You've become accountable to me. And therefore, now I have say-so in your life. Say so, and watch this, a voice that is significant. Listen, if nobody has a voice that's significant in your life, you're not accountable to anybody. anybody. And listen, that doesn't mean just because you go to church. You can go to church and, dear God, I've been doing this for a long time. So you can go to church and you could care less about what that pastor's saying. You give very little reverence about that pastor saying. You will look up and say, well, yeah, that sounds good, but. Because you begin to retract back to your own place of spiritual authority and you're not accountable to anyone. We're talking about this thing called the church and what it should be and how it should function. Let's look at something here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Are you with me out there? Come on. We're going to dig a little deeper in this thing called the church. We need to understand it clearly. Verse 11 says this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Now, if you put this in its whole context, you will see that he gives gifts to everyone, and all those gifts come into the church. But these are five specific gifts that he kind of highlights that, listen, I've given these to the church for a specific purpose and reason. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. See, that's a very simple biblical job description for myself as a pastor. My role is to now help to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. That's my responsibility. That's why our mission, you know, statement here at Impact Church, Impact Nation, is that we exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. See, that's my role. That's my job description as a pastor. It's not my job description per se just to make people happy. It's not my job description to say what you agree with. My job description is to find out, okay, God, what is it that you have in store for our lives? And then now let me help to equip people to walk in that, to fulfill God's ordained purpose for their life. The rest of the passage goes on to say this. This will continue. So a lot of times people say, well, how long we got to do this? Well, God answers it. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, let me answer this real simply. We're not there yet. We are definitely not there yet. So when you understand that, then you would understand that we need the church more than ever right now. We need the church, and you need to be connected with church more than ever right now, because God says this is going to continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. Unfortunately, the church is very much divided on so many different issues, and that's never what God wanted. But God says this is going to continue. I need pastors, I need evangelists, I need prophets, apostles, teachers to take on the responsibility now of equipping God's people to do his work and build up the church. Come on. My role is to equip you to be all that God has called you to be so that you can do God's work building up the church. Now, we got to ask ourselves, how is the church doing? Is the church being built up well? Because that's not on the pastor. That's on others. See, the pastor is like, okay, my role is to help to equip you so that you can do the work in building up the church. So then we can measure it by looking at, well, how well is the church being built up? If the church is not being built up well, listen, we can address things with the pastor, you know, and here's the degree where you can address with the pastor. How well are you equipping us? Now, here we go again. I can only equip you to the degree that you will allow me. And every pastor in the world is in that same position. Only to the degree that you will submit and make my voice significant in your life. Now, it's amazing to me because I watch it all the time. You know, people will go to churches, but somebody else is really their pastor. You know, their mentor, their friend, sometimes their co-worker, sometimes their parents, so on and so forth. Their pastor is the one who spiritually feeds them regularly, but the person that they really submit to, it's not that person, it's someone else that they highly esteem and feel like gets them and understands them. Can you see how that's a perversion? Can you see how that's gotten completely off track? This thing called the church, we got to come back to the core principles. There are three ways you can respond to God and you can respond to the church. Three. You know what? Even before I say that, let me say this. Because this always amazes me. Isn't it interesting that God, in his wisdom for humanity, gave us his son, gave us a part of himself who lived for us, who died for us, who rose for us. And then upon that resurrection say, you know what? Now I'm going to leave you another comforter. I'm going to leave with you the spirit of the living God now who will be able to live in you. You would think, you know, from a religious standpoint that that's enough. We don't need any more. But in that same context, Jesus says, yeah, you got my life and you got my death and you got my blood and you got my resurrection on your behalf. You got the spirit of the living God. He says, but you know what? I also have instituted this thing called the church so that it can help to perfect you. You would think that, you know what? All we need is Jesus. All we need is the spirit of God. That's all we need. And that's how a lot of people act. That's all I need. No, that's not all you need. And that's why you see here in scripture, Jesus is like, I have given these gifts to help to build you up, help to perfect you so that you can work. What's the work that you're doing? What's the work that you're doing? And listen, we don't do work grumbling and complaining. We don't do work like, I don't know why I have to do this. That is not catching the vision. It is an absolute honor, an absolute privilege to be able to do anything for Almighty God. I mean, I am amazed. Come on, I'm just for me, I still see myself this little black boy, you know, from Detroit that was, you know, thin as all outdoors for, you know, a number of years, and that the Lord would grace me, bless me, and favor me where I can begin to open up and teach on his word, break the bread of life to people. Man. I mean, I am in awe, and I'm absolutely grateful and thankful for every time and opportunity I have like this to be of service to people. That's the attitude and heart God wants us to have in whatever is going on, whatever role you may be playing as a part of this church in building up the body of Christ. Do it with joy, never do it with grief. Here's these three ways to respond to God in his church. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. So let's catch the picture here. Ever since the world was created. So I don't care what part of the planet you are on. Ever since the world was created, people have seen earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Everyone now is really in a place without excuse for not being able to be drawn, you know, to God. God says, if you just pay attention to my handiwork, you will understand that there is something that transcends you. There's something far bigger than you. There's something more complex than you. He says, I don't care what culture you've grown up in. You could have grown up, you know, as an aborigine in Australia. You could be in the bush somewhere in Africa. You could have been in the mountains in China. It does not matter. God says you can still pay attention and recognize there is something that transcends you. And then it's your responsibility to seek that out. Now, individuals have done that and unfortunately have gotten off path. But God says, I put the evidence out here for all of us to be able to be drawn unto him. They have no excuse for not knowing God. Then he says this. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Man, I'm telling you. There's been so much of that, you know, through the centuries and millenniums of just individuals, you know, philosophizing about, you know, God's nature and, you know, the ontological nature of God and the epistemological, you know, natures and all these, you know, different theological terms. And all that's great. But God says individuals began to do that, but then they just kind of start developing foolish ideas of what God was like. It says, as a result, Their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. First way that you and I can respond to God is what I call irreligious, where you just simply choose to reject God. You reject his word. You reject his direction. And you just simply say, I'm going to be the captain of my own life. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. So you'll hear the atheist say, well, I don't even believe that there is a God. Okay, that's fine. You can take that position. That is a position that some take, unfortunately. It's not a healthy position, and it's certainly not what God is calling us unto, but I want to put, you know, shine a light on what our choices are, how we can respond to God and how we can respond to the church. So we can take that mindset, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I get it. That's not healthy. You find yourself in that particular place. I asked you, stay open. Come on, if you're listening now, you're already open, so just stay in that position and receive exactly what the Spirit of God has for you. But then Romans chapter 10, read this, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. This is Paul, you know, speaking. He's like, man, I'm out here ministering to these Gentiles, but I want my kinsmen, you know, to be saved too. I don't want to be out here just, you know, ministering, you know, to these Gentiles and they're coming into the kingdom, but then my kinsmen are just sitting back, you know, in a rebellious state. He wanted to see them saved. He says, I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. You should underline that. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Here's the second way you can really wind up responding to God, and that's in a religious fashion. You can respond to God in a religious fashion where you reject God by embracing and obeying some form of God's law to earn, you know, salvation. It's really a rejection of God in the gospel, in the church, in favor of moralism. So today in our culture, you know, you'll see individuals, they you know, will be very big. You know, how can a person do that? You know, how can this person, you know, lie about this? And how can this person, you know, treat, you know, have treated this woman, you know, this way, you know, and treated this woman that way. And I find it so interesting because people are so passionate about this. And they're just like, you know, we are standing on moral ground here. And a lot of times they'll even look at the church and where's the church? I thought the church was supposed to be, you know, so moral. And they're standing on this, you're like, you know, how could someone do this, you know, with these women and so forth. But then in the same breath, we'll look up and individuals are just completely silent or just kind of cheering on, you know, sexual diversity, gender diversity, things of that nature. Whoa, wait a minute. The morality that you were talking about in terms of maybe how a man may have been mistreating a woman, you know where that comes from? It comes from God. It's really something, again, expressed and taught, you know, from the church. But now we can't pick and choose what we're going to, you know, be, you know, morally indignant about. That, yeah, I'm going to be morally indignant about that. But watch this. God also, coming from the same source, is not, you know, endorsing same-sex unions. Listen, I understand this. It's legal to be married. I understand that. Same sex. I get that. We're talking about, again, from God's heart and from God's perspective and the sense of morality that emanates from him. God says, no, I expect for a relationship between one man and one woman. Well, wait a minute. How are we doing this picking and choosing on the moralism? Because it's this religious mindset that individuals feel like, you know what, if I'm standing up for a cause, that's making me a good person. That is earning my sense of salvation. I feel better in the world. So you see individuals begin to do things for the not for the sake of the people they're doing it for, certainly not for the sake of God. They're doing it for their own fulfillment. You see it all the time. Individuals will say, I did this for this person, and I just felt so good. It made me, you know, so warm and fuzzy on the inside. Can I respond to that? So what? What about the person? What about the person you did it for? What about them being lifted? What about them now being transformed and moving forward? I'm trying to paint a picture that we have made everything about us, and it's not. And the church is not about us. And the things that we do is not about us. Yeah, can you feel good about doing something? Yeah, certainly you can. But understand, the motivation ought to be, yeah, but I trust that I brought a smile to my Father's face. See, this is why I do this. Come on now. This is the heartbeat of being, you know, in the church. Everything we do out of this relationship for our Father. Come on, I've been married now going on 21 years, you know, this June, and I love my wife as Christ loves the church, not because, you know, maybe she does everything absolutely perfect. I got a wonderful wife, but come on now, she may miss it, you know, from time to time, just like me. I don't love her based upon how she's treating me. I don't love her based upon how I think she should respond to me. I love her simply because of how I'm being loved by God. So she decides she don't want to do another thing, not another thing for me. That doesn't change me because I'm loving her. I'm loving my children. I'm loving others because God loves me. It all stems from this relationship. And listen, let's be clear. Let's be clear in the church because I know I got a lot of church that's watching right now. If you get disconnected from that relationship, if you don't value that key relationship, you become a different type person. Come on now, y'all remember them Snickers commercials, you know, somebody, you know, would be looking one way, you know, one minute looking half crazy, then they'd eat a Snickers and they turn into a different person, and people would be like, you're not yourself, you know, when you're hungry. Listen, you're not yourself without a vibrant, everyday relationship with God. You can't just simply get a little something on a first Wednesday once a month and then maybe, you know, a couple of Sundays throughout the month and think you're going to have a vibrant relationship with God. You are going through religion. You're acting on things thinking that, okay, this is kind of, you know, making my salvation. Get out of that. Get out of that completely, praise God. This is the kind of stuff that Israel had fallen into. And that's why Paul is saying, says, man, they got a great zeal for God, but they don't get it. They don't get it. They think it's all about this kind of stuff that they're trying to do. No, that's not how you want to respond to God. And listen, we have different religious, you know, movements today. I'll be very clear with you. You know, one is just kind of like, you know, sense of global warming and global climate change and the different now edicts that are coming down to really force, you know, individuals to participate in something that maybe they don't agree with. Now, see, watch this. If we do that as a Christian, watch this. If I did that as a pastor, forced you to come to church, forced you to pray, come on now, I should be arrested, and rightfully so. Well, let's not allow secular religious ideas and institutions get away with it either. Stand up against that. I'll stop on that point for now. Let me give you the third way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, it's just that simple. You can embrace God's provision of salvation that is unmerited, it's unearned, it's even undeserved, and surrender to his will for your life. God just simply makes you righteous when you yield to him. And this is what I call the anti-religious response. See, one was irreligious, the other was very religious, but this is the anti-religious response. That, you know what? I'm good because of the image of God in me, because of God's love for me, not because of what I do. And I get it. A lot of times people will look at you and be like, well, I thought you were a Christian. Come on. Anybody ever, you know, told you that when maybe you said something that they didn't think was appropriate, or you did something that they didn't think was appropriate? I thought you were a Christian. Say, absolutely. Just because maybe I did something that was not appropriate doesn't change my nature. Why? Because it's not on me. It's on what God has done for me. He's made me righteous. Come on now. He didn't hope for me to be righteous. He didn't say, I'm going to try to help you develop into righteous. He says, I made you righteous. It's a great exchange when you come and embrace that. And I'm going to tell you, this is a struggle for a lot of people in their thinking, because we always have this mindset of, yeah, but I got to do something. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just come and embrace it. Come on and embrace it. Come on and get it. And you're going to find it is the absolute best, most rewarding thing in your life. Let's conclude on this final point. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I hope you're catching this. Are you catching it? Are you catching it? Praise God. Verse 14 says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. This is Paul talking again. So that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This, the household of God, is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Man, this is so significant. Paul is talking here. He's written a letter, you know, to his protege, you know, Timothy. He says, look, I'm looking to, you know, come be with you. But if I get delayed, you know, understand, you know, certain things about how to, you know, you want to teach people to conduct themselves in the house of God, how to conduct themselves in the church of the living God. But then he gives this description to the church, that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. You know, one translation says the church is the bastion of truth. This is the place where truth, you know, abides. The church, from God's heart, is to be this gathering in this community where we can all come to and become the very best versions of ourselves possible. The church. If you want to be the best version of who you have been born to be, it happens in the community called the church. Now listen, early on, if you look into church history, they understood this and everything was centered around the church. But then different, you know, kind of ideas began to pop up and so forth. And roughly about the 12th century is when we had the kind of the advent of the university. And so now in our modern times, the university is seen as the pillar and foundation of truth. The university is promoted as this is where you want to send your children so that they can grow and develop and become, you know, a wonderful citizen, you know, in our land. Well, see, the way God set that up, he set that up as the church. The church is this pillar, this bastion of truth. Listen, I'm in favor of university and education. I got degrees. I'm going to school right now to finish off another degree. So I have no issue, you know, with university. But I do understand this. The place and community where God has called and is drawing out my best me is the church. So now you got to ask yourself a question. Well, and are you satisfied with the version of you that you are right now? Are you satisfied? Now, if you say, yes, I want to meet you. I want to talk to you. I need to learn from you. But if you're like the rest of us who realize we're still under construction, we're still developing, if you're like the rest of us like that, then you understand that, wait a minute, I want to take steps to be the best version of myself that God has called me to be. Well, listen, that happens in the church. So if it's not really flourishing, if it's not really developing, if you can't look back over your life and your spiritual life and see your growth year after year after year, then listen, I want to encourage you, get yourself reconnected with church. Get yourself back, you know, in the community of the church. Come on, not just simply attending and spectating. Praise God for what we're using right now, you know, the internet and so forth. And this is great to learn, but this is not just church. This is not the totality of church, just hearing a message and singing some songs. That's not the totality of it. It's a connection. It's a belonging. It's a community. And that's where you're going to become the very best you. So let's do this together. Bow your heads with me right there where you are. And I want you to just talk with God. I want you to talk with God individually, personally, and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be the best version of me that you've called for me to be. Help for me, Daddy, to return back to the place of honoring your church the way that you established it in the earth. Yes, Father, we recognize that there's been abuses and there's been distortions, but that does not give us the right to abandon what you established for us. Help us in this season, Father, to break out of the isolationism and to connect once again, you know, with one another so that your church, you know, can grow. Watch this. So your name can be magnified and that all of us can be the best versions of ourselves that you have called for us to be. Oh, sir, we love you. We thank you for revealing unto us things that we need to adjust, things that we need to change, and drawing us back together. We give you praise for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, there's some that you're watching, and this sense of community you've just gotten completely away from. And you've used the pandemic as an excuse, and that's what it is at this stage. You're using it as an excuse to stay isolated, to stay withdrawn, and you're stunting your growth. Get yourself back connected. Get yourself back, you know, within the church. Listen, if Impact Church is not your cup of tea, then, you know, so be it. But get connected somewhere. Get yourself connected so that you can be the best version that God's called you to be. Because without that connectivity, see, watch this. You're on an island and you're not accountable. And that's very, very dangerous. So do this. Contact somebody right there, you know, right at home. Let them know. Say, you know what? I'm coming to church this Sunday. Come on, put yourself out there so you can be accountable. See, when we have secret commitments, nobody can hold us accountable. See, but you go ahead and call somebody, text somebody, be like, I'm coming this Sunday. I'm coming. I'll be there. Come on now. I'll be looking for you. Let's do this. God needs the church to rise. Father, we thank you again for your continued presence. Father, I pray for everyone that's been locked in this message today. Not only today, Father, but over the past, you know, few months. May we continue to grow in our revelation, understanding, and functioning of this thing called the church. And Daddy, I pray for those today who may be listening that don't have a relationship with you, that understand and heard everything that I've said, but it's just like, I just don't know if I'm really connected. Well, let me help you be connected today. Well, I want to put two invitations out there. Number one, you just are not connected. Come on, let's get connected. Or number two, maybe you've been connected, but watch this. You just kind of gotten off into your own thing. Come on back and rededicate your life today. Come on back and say, you know what, God, I choose you again over everything else, including me. Come on, you can do it. You can do it, praise God. So everyone, come on, lift up two hands under heaven. Everyone right there where you are. Come on, grab your husband, grab your wife, grab the kids, grab the dog. Come on, lift up your hands unto Almighty God. Say this out loud with me. Father, I love you. Thank you again for loving me and rescuing me through your son, Jesus. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my Savior, my Lord, my King, my everything. I turn my back on sin and I say afresh today, I am yours. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, come on, just shout with me for a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Daddy, we bless you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord God. We are yours and you are ours. Praise God. Woo, so amazing you are. So good you are, so phenomenal you are. God is good unto us always. Listen, share this with someone. You know some other individuals, you know, maybe they're not a part of Impact Church, but whatever church, wherever they may be, in the country, in the world. So you know what, listen to this, you know, kind of meditate on some of these particular, you know, points and nuggets so that the church, watch this, can have this diffuse, focused light and be explosive and impactful. Impact Church, is moving in 2022. Come on, somebody say it with me out there. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Come on now, keep your faith directed right in that place. Praise God. Absolutely love you. Look forward to seeing you this weekend, Saturday. We're praying Saturday morning. You can come out and join us at our administrative office. And then Sunday, we're going back into part two of One People. And it's Mother's Day. So mothers, come on out. We got some special treats for you as well. Love you guys. Be blessed and have an awesome evening. Bye.